Regular agenda, item 951.
Amend contract with American Medical Response, Inc. in the amount of $150,000 to provide continued phlebotomy services to the Police Bureau.
Good morning, Sergeant Abramson.
Good morning, Mayor, Council.
So explain this to us, please.
So we'd like to amend our contract with American Medical Response and increase it the amount of $150,000 between now and August 31st of 2020. This is for blood draws when we have criminal cases where we have probable cause to believe that a crime has been committed, particularly in relations to serious injury crashes and fatal crashes. Because of the overwhelming amount of the increase of blood draws that have occurred in the last couple years, that's why we are continuing to extend this.
So is this for both, this is for driving under the influence of intoxicants for multiple intoxicants, not just alcohol?
Correct.
Okay.
It just occurred to me, don't the fire trucks, can their paramedics not do blood draws?
No, that hasn't happened, I think, for the last 4 or 5 years. That changed.
Is it a law that they can't, or they don't have that skill?
You know, I think that would be more of a question for Fire Bureau. I think that was a decision made because of duties and time constraints and amount of calls they have to respond to. And it made more sense as far as location and feasibility. And this began in 2012.
So this is separate from the county ambulance contract with AMR. This is just a contract we have. They're in the field.
With AMR, correct.
Yep. Yeah, they're in the field, and so we pay them for the extra work of coming and doing blood draws at precincts or on scene or wherever, right?
Correct.
Okay.
This is a renewal for another 4 years, but it might be
worth at least revisiting with the, now we have a new fire chief, and, sure. And Dan, you may want to look at that. Question.
Yeah, we'll check into that. It's a good question.
Because this is an on-call contract, right? I mean, we don't pay them this money and whether we need their services or not, right?
This is per service.
So if they don't render the service, we don't pay the money. So if we did it another way, we'd save the money. Okay, got it.
Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you very much. Anyone want to speak on this item? Come on up.
You first or me?
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh. For the record, I represent Individuals for Justice. No. We take a strong position on this because we don't know what they're doing. You're going to increase this $150,000 from the original contract. That's $100,000. To do what? To come and take blood from people that have been in an accident, and then you're going to check their blood to see if they're over the limits. Where's the warrant? You're violating the Fourth Amendment here. You honestly think that the police and the ambulance that have a vested interest in taking this blood and turning it over to the police for testing? Where's the Fourth Amendment? If the patients ended up in the hospital, you couldn't get their blood without a warrant. So why are you going around the Fourth Amendment here? What is that? I'm not a lawyer. There is a lawyer on your group here. Aren't you concerned about that? You didn't ask one question. Where's the warrant? It's an invasion of privacy. And you all know that. And why don't you ask that kind of question to the police? Do you say to the people, can we have your blood? And if they say no, do you back off? This is the Constitution that you're screwing with. And you want to pay another $150,000 to do it? What's the matter with you? We strongly say no. No! Thank you.
Go ahead, please.
I'm Mr. Shedrick. I strongly say yes. The Founding Fathers didn't anticipate cars to go 60 miles an hour down the freeway. Also, warrants and cars. I was on a jury case one time. It's very controversial. When the Founding Fathers only meant it to be homes. Somebody going in your home, not your car. and stuff like that. I've been through this before. Cars were not envisioned in the, they had horses, okay? Hello, get it. When I was at the VA hospital, I was almost unconscious. They drew my blood, right? It was the best thing they ever did because I don't like my blood drawn. But I was afraid to know that I was a diabetic. I'm not. Sometimes you learn things when you draw people's blood. And by the way, when somebody crashes a car into somebody in their car, you draw their blood and find out how much drugs they have, how much marijuana, THC, and you find out and you give it to the prosecutor. I disagree with Joe completely.
Thank you. Okay, next.
There has to be a middle way. Hi, I'm Charles Johnson. I don't know Mr. Novick's reasons for being silent, but of course, search seizure Fourth Amendment is a complicated legal minefield sometimes. I do think that whether or not you pass this now, as I said just a moment ago, you should think about metrics. Does this money we pay to AMR have any real connection with, I don't really care about convictions for drunk driving. I want drunk driving to stop. I want the injuries to stop. You know, I want people not to do it, but I'm not sure that warehousing, you know, the whole prosecution of substance-influenced drivers, we don't know how well it's working to get us the result of keeping people alive. But I think that when you're talking about appropriating extra $150,000 over 4 years, that the police department and the district attorney should be able to cooperate and provide you with a report that says, oh, we apparently the police department thinks they're going to use all their money, so they're doing this a lot. But if those cases don't result in convictions by plea or by trial, then maybe this $150,000 isn't really helping keep anybody safe. I'm leaning towards Mr. Walsh's concern about people's rights being violated, but I don't think that we can, you know, fully address that here. I'm sure it's been hammered out in some courtrooms about what's legal and not as far as violating a person's rights, taking their blood. But if we can't address that issue here, we can certainly look at the fact of, is this $150,000 provably, not just, oh, let's appropriate it so we can scare people into thinking we're going to draw their blood if they're charged with driving under the influence, but do we actually know what's trending in DUI cases? What are the conviction percentages? Are they going up and down? And does this investment of, I think it's general revenue dollars, and there should be, our beloved federal government with their huge, massive military industrial budget should have some United States Department of Transportation dollars to help us do this if we need to do it. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you. Next.
Hi, City Council. My name is Mary Ng. I want to tell you a story about being the designated driver. I was driving some friends of mine who wanted a few drinks. I'm not much of a drinker. I should be, but I'm not. And I'm like being responsible. So I believe I had less than one glass of something hours and hours before, and they were stalling, and I was ready to go. And I was driving a car that was not quite roadworthy, and it had some, I forget what it's called, but where the steering wheel wants to go in one direction. Like, it completely needed to be serviced. Piece of junk, should be taken off the road. But I'm driving it, and that is causing me to look a little bit like I'm not able to manage a straight line. And this was through poverty that I was driving this bad car. But I thought I was being a nice citizen to take these intoxicated fellows home. And I got pulled over for a DUI. I was taken into a hospital pretty much, I guess, against my will. I tried to be nice, but it had blood drawn invasively with a needle. And I was being accused of being on drugs or alcohol or something like that. But a lot of it had to do with profiling. I had teased my hair up to like a full Cyndi Lauper kind of a look and had a shredded, airbrushed Betty Boop t-shirt that my friend made and was trying to do my best version of like 1983, but this is like 2000 maybe that this happened. But I found it very invasive, and it ended up going to a point where I missed a court date. A warrant was issued for my arrest. Somebody finally told me, oh, there's a habeas for you. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't drink and drive, and I had forgotten about it. So I went and checked myself in, and a public defender was able to subpoena the records and find that there was absolutely nothing wrong with my blood. And so to me, it was kind of an example of police overreaching and maybe judging someone by a false impression. And I wouldn't want, I actually really support road safety, or I wish we could all get out of our cars and be somewhat Amish or something. But and I lost dear Andrea Broadbent when I was 17. It was just terrible. But I think that I really kind of, I'm a little bit with Shedrick in thinking like, yeah, I actually want to know what's in people's blood. And I'm even concerned about how marijuana affects driving. I think a lot of people feel safer to drive while they smoke it, but I don't feel safe riding in a car where people are using a lot of marijuana. And I think those are issues we're going to have to talk about with the legalization trends nationally for marijuana use for therapeutic reasons. But thank you very much for being here today, and I'm very thrilled to be in the presence of so many people, great citizens like Carla, who contribute, the city attorneys, Michael Cohen, my favorite G4S security guard, and all these lovely people like Joe Walsh, who has so much to add. I value everyone's opinion, and I hope we all can get along. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm artist Laura Vanderlyn. This morning, Commissioner Fish mentioned to me that he said boundaries. I think he's correct. We need to have boundaries. We do have warrants, and police need to know what their boundaries are. I'm not against it. However, do get a warrant. Do your due diligence to ensure that you're not doing anything to violate a citizen's rights. Uphold the Constitution, number one. Uphold the Constitution. That is your duty. You have a duty to the United States, to the federal government of the United States, to uphold the Constitution and not violate anybody's rights. As a police commissioner, I hope that you will tell your police department to uphold the Constitution. Always remember that. Don't do anything that violates people's rights. Always remember what that is and do your due diligence. We do need safety officials. We don't need excessive force. But we do need safety officials to do their due diligence and uphold the Constitution of the United States, something that is not practiced in Portland, something that's not practiced by you.
Thank you. Okay, I think Sergeant Abramson wants to respond to a couple questions here, so come on up. So the question was raised about warrants.
Absolutely, yeah.
Stops.
Thank you.
Warrants don't necessarily.
I thought without getting into a long narrative, it was best for me to keep it simple. However, these are relevant concerns, and I understand that. Nothing that we do skirts any warrant process. Just like anything else we do, from patrol operations to doing blood draws here, if we have probable cause, we can still take an exigent draw because of dissipation. That would have to be changed with case law at the state, at the Ninth Circuit.
Ninth Circuit. Yeah. Well, no, go back a bit.
So exigency means that because of dissipation, dissipation in the blood.
Oh.
So if somebody's blood alcohol contact in their blood for ethanol might be a 1-2. And let's say average dissipation, that means it drops over amount of time, over a 60-minute period, it may drop 0.015 on the average per hour. It's the same thing with any kind of illicit controlled substance. There's a dissipation rate, whether it's with marijuana or even pharmaceuticals a lot of times. The effect a lot of times can be measured. And that's what we're looking at. Case law is based upon impairment. Other states, they do a per se limit. So if you're at this point in your system, this amount of blood, then more likely than not, they can prove that impairment was a factor. So if we have observations we can articulate, and again, the police bureau isn't going around haphazardly saying, because you're involved in a crash, we're going to seize your blood. That does not happen. Again, this goes back to probable cause. If we believe impairment is a factor, we had nearly 1,000 DUIs last year, and if you look at Portland statistics compared to the nationwide stats for DUIs and for fatal crashes, nationwide they average 37% to 39% for all fatal crashes involve impairment. Here in Portland over the last 4 years, if you look, at least one party involved in our fatal crashes, 55% to 65% of all of our fatal crashes, at least one party was impaired. We have had an overwhelming amount since the legalization of marijuana, frankly. When statistics come out next year and those are released, I think the public is going to be alarmed at what we're seeing. So we have had a greater demand. Officers on the street, traffic division officers, we still go through a warrant process. We don't skirt anything of best practice or law. People still have their rights. Is there anything else you'd like to clarify?
That's good. I appreciate the response. Thank you. Other questions? Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay. Let's then take a vote on this item then, please.
Teltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you for your expertise and for acknowledging the concerns and explaining. Aye.
Hales?
Yeah, I appreciate the discussion. Just kind of reiterate a couple basic points that I always try to remember in talking about these issues. One, that driving a motor vehicle is not a right. It's a privilege. That's why we get a license. You don't have to have a license for your rights, but you do have to have a license for a privilege. And it's a privilege to drive a motor vehicle on the publicly owned right-of-way. And you should lose that privilege when you drive impaired. So I'm pretty hard line on that subject, particularly in a year in which, so far, we have lost twice as many Portlanders to traffic violence as we have to homicidal violence. And that's appalling. And the rate of traffic violence in our city, as the sergeant just iterated, is appalling. So I want us to be resolute about making sure that we have prosecutable cases for people that drink and drive or smoke too much marijuana and drive, because we're killing each other that way, and that's why we do this. But I do appreciate the discussion and the careful, the care and thoughtfulness that the Police Bureau is applying and exercising the power they have in this situation, but the power needs to be exercised. Aye.